This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yep.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Fans, and welcome to the fifth quarter postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network. The Miami Dolphins Podcast Network is all here, catching our breath. Juice and Big Seth from the Fish Tank. I'm Travis Wingfield, the host of the Drive Time Podcast. And guys, I don't really know if I have anything left to say. There is just so much to go through in this game, but I think we start with the end of game sequence there, Juice. But I'll close my opening with this. All those Bills fans on A1A yesterday going home a little bit sad tonight, Juice.
Oh, man. Am I on here? Can you hear me right here? Hey, I called the owner elbow room, and I was so mad that he let them take over our A1A in Las Solas. You know what I mean? And you know what? They can enjoy our weather. They can enjoy our water. But they're not going to enjoy a win today. So they don't get the three W's today, fellas.
They won't enjoy a plane ride home, I can tell you that much.
Definitely not. Man.
That end-of-game sequence when the Buffalo Bills punch it down to the two-yard line for a first and goal, you get a one-yard rush up the middle. So second and goal from the one-yard line at the two-minute warning. Miami has just one timeout remaining at that point. Josh Allen rushes for a one-yard loss. Dolphins timeout. Josh Allen, incomplete pass to Stephon Diggs. Xavien Howard almost gets a pick. And that would have been the story of the day if the Dolphins didn't win this game, was the dropped opportunities on defense. And then fourth and goal, you get an incomplete pass with pressure in Allen's face to Isaiah McKenzie. The Dolphins go three and out and punt the ball off the personal protector's backside out of the back of the end zone for a safety. If that ball gets caught in the end zone, touchdown Bills, all of a sudden Miami has to come back. And then we get a crazy sequence at the end where Buffalo gets into field goal range, sort of, gets pushed back
again.
I don't know where to go right now because we have so much to talk about. Emmanuel Ogba with a big, big pressure late to get that holding call, which essentially wiped the Bills out of field goal range, guys. And then they get the completion. And then Juice, I thought they played such smart, sound, disciplined football. It's a tough offense to stop. But this offense averaged 36 points per game this year. They scored 19 today. And the discipline to keep that guy in bounds, I thought, was the theme of the game all along for the Dolphins.
Big challenge today. Big challenge today for the Miami Dolphins and definitely the Miami Dolphin defense. Look, we've watched this Buffalo Bills team like for the last few weeks and the last year and the last 2 years, and they're usually unstoppable. And they were unstoppable the first 2 years. So they can talk about all they want about how they didn't have defensive guys, but their offensive guys were intact. And we went out there and held those guys to 19 points.
That's a great
really point. 17 points, two from the defense on that, that block punt that turned into a safety. So excellent job by the defense. An example of complimentary football once again by the Miami Dolphins. Look, offense, first week, defense had a great day. Second week, offense had a great day. Today, defense had a great day against one of the most incredible, and I'm putting this out there, and I'm not saying it lightly, most incredible quarterbacks we're going to face ever as a Miami Dolphin fan. Josh Allen is incredible. Made some incredible throws, made some incredible runs, did everything he could to make that, give those guys a chance to win, and we still held them offensively to 17 points.
And that's why I think you look at the numbers at the end of the day, Drew, 17 points is the key, because 497 yards of offense for Buffalo, but you have to play a certain way, Big Seth, to kind of keep this team in check. And you kind of mentioned it all game long. You were on this idea about this heat is getting to them more, and how many was it? Three heat exhaustion?
I don't know. I heard crazy more to heat me. Injuries
how
than
crazy
I've ever
was
seen.
That? Yeah.
There was one, a guy was down, and then six other players were taking a knee, and they were just gasping for air. Look, here, big picture, guys. Let's look big picture. This team has been the bully. They've been a bully, certainly to the Miami Dolphins. Lost seven straight to this team.
Correct.
And they didn't just beat them by 2 points, 3 points. They were blowing this team out. They were taking the Miami Dolphins' soul. Every time that you had hope as a Dolphins fan the last handful of years, what happened? You ran into the Buffalo Bills. And they came down here, and they punched the bully in the mouth. And so I don't care how many yards anybody had. I don't care that it came down to the wire and I wanted to go next door and throw up in the garbage can in the booth next to me. I don't care about any of that. The fact of the matter is the Miami Dolphins are 3-0. They're 2-0 in the division.
Tell them again, Big Seth.
They're 3-0 in the conference, and they just sent the biggest, baddest team that probably I don't care about gambling odds, but I got to believe all the odds were in their favor to Super Bowl favorites right now, and they sent them home, and they're going to be pissed off, and they're going to be tired, and their IV machine is going crazy in the Bills' locker room right now, and they're going home with a big L.
Is that one of those games, Juice, to kind of Seth's point there where, like, you better get that win, man, especially for the Dolphins on a short week this week, turning around quick against the Bengals. That's going to be no small task. We'll get to that next week, but I'm just curious, does that kind of, I mean, it doesn't fire you up more, but you think about that, like, you have to get this win because all the depletion of your guys today, the injuries, the just the playing through the heat kind of stacks up on you there. Now you got a four-day turnaround here.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you what. We're not even thinking about the Bengals right now because the most important thing, honestly, is our division. And Buffalo, like you talked about, Big Seth, and like you talk about, Travis, has owned us. They've owned us, man. And so when you get these opportunities that we have right now with these guys to catch a team that's a little beat up, you know what I mean, come down here in our heat, their fans were, like, all over the place, you got to be a little upset. You got to be a little bit upset. So, yeah, Cincinnati was one of those things. How about this? How many people predicted us to be 0-4? 2-2, 1-3,
right? Can we split the games? It's the gauntlet.
1-3 now. Now, you know, we got a real good chance. We're better than Cincinnati too. But I'm gonna tell you, man, it's amazing to see these guys come out there. No matter what, they can say whatever they want about not having this guy on defense or that guy. If you're a good organization, what you do is you make sure you got quality backups and you make sure you go out there and you put a game plan together with whoever you have out there, the 47 you have dressing up, and that's what we did. That's what they did, and we went out there and beat a great opponent at home, and it was something that we had to do. We talked about this before, Big Seth. Look, in order to win this division, you got, I think, in my opinion, we got to split with Buffalo, and we got to beat the other two twice.
That first part's accomplished already.
First part's accomplished right now.
Already in the back of the bank, and you know, you talk about key moments in this game, and you mentioned that the Bills being down so many guys in the secondary. Obviously, that helps the Dolphins in a big way. Like, there's no question about that. But you mentioned it. Like, they're still really well coached on defense. Sean McDermott has a defensive background. Leslie Frazier's been a great coach in this league for a long time, and that pass rush is still ferocious, as we saw. It knocked our quarterback out for a drive, and we'll get to that here shortly as well. There's so much to unpack from this game. But I thought one of my big keys coming into the game, guys, when I mentioned it to Seth probably 14 times or so during that game, was how this defense loves to play zone, four-man pressure too high, and it's a tough defense to get vertical on. We saw that throughout the course of the game, but speaking of key moments in this game, the biggest moment to me, Juice, Seth, 3rd and 22, backed up around midfield, Tua uncorks one right between those two split safeties to Jaylen Waddle for 45 yards. He's the first Dolphins receiver to go over 100 yards in back-to-back games since when?
2019, Devontae Parker.
There you go. Jaylen Waddle with the big play, the big moment in the game. So, yeah, it's, you talk about injuries, talk about, you know, the attrition that both these teams took on. I don't care about any of that. I mean, it's a victory. Like Juice just mentioned, like, who cares? They went out there and they beat a great team. I know I'm kind of speaking to myself.
Did their record change because certain guys weren't playing?
Right.
Like, did they score less points? Did they take points away from what they had accomplished? Look, are they still in the AFC East? I don't care who they line up out there. I don't want to sit here and judge the value of the win. The value of the win, they're 3-0 now. Again, we can't lose sight of this. And these were the biggest, baddest bullies in the league coming in today.
Yeah.
And they're going home with an L. And,
yeah.
And it's your Miami Dolphins who sent them home.
Yeah, you know what?
You can't forget about that.
Yeah, the best thing about it is, you know, hey, look, I can say whatever the hell I want because I don't care.
You
know,
you care,
their little bus ride down A1A, you know, had them all stoked. How's their bus ride going to be to the airport going to be? Yeah, and I hope they got some liquids because they're going to be cramped up because I remember those days too. It's going to be a crampy
ride. The ride back to the plane while
flight.
You're cramping?
Damn right it is, man. And good for them, man. Hell of a team. I'm
them.
Not taking
good
anything away from Buffalo.
It's a good football
they're
team.
They're a really, really, really good football team. They're who we are striving to be about and be with. And we got them today. You know, we caught them on a good day. And that's what it's all about, man. You got to get these wins at home. More importantly, 2-0 in the division, 3-0 in the conference. Let's continue this trend right here. We got another conference game coming up.
Especially to the point about the expectations to start the season. You have victories against not just two playoff teams from a year ago. You know, Baltimore didn't make the playoffs, but they were 8-3 before injuries really took their toll and were the one seed in the AFC at that time. And now, like you guys talked about, if you go to, like, you know, the betting stuff, like, Buffalo is the by far prohibitive favorite to take down the Super Bowl this year. You go in here and you knock this team down, who, by the way, coming into this game, had a point differential 72 to, was it 16 or 17? Something like that. 72-17.
They were killing teams.
And the Dolphins didn't just come out here and compete and hang with them. They took them. They beat them. And I'm watching a Buffalo Bills coordinator lose his mind right now in the press box.
Yeah, I heard that
Twitter.
Too.
My boy Will
just sent me that same video. It's amazing.
Josh Houts out there tweeting out for us. We appreciate you, Houts. Let's go ahead. We have a few minutes left in this opening segment. I think we have to get to the quarterback, guys, because he was playing really well in that first half, you know, aside from a couple of drives that just kind of got bogged down. But that big drive to answer for the touchdown, we mentioned the 45-yard shot to Waddle. But before the injury, he was cooking, and then he comes back out at halftime. I don't know if you saw it, Juice, but he had the helmet in hand, was pumping the crowd up. That was a cool sight to see, and for him to come back and get this win, guys, that's got to mean a lot for that quarterback.
I think it does mean a lot for that quarterback and this team. I mean, look, what was the whole mantra that we heard last week, this idea that adversity equals opportunity?
Yes.
Anybody who got excited about – look, last week's game was one for the ages. It'll be one that people talk about forever. We're still – because of that game, we're still going back to the 1977 game where Bob Greasy threw 6 touchdowns. It's a game for the ages. But anybody who thought that they were going to come out here and Tua was going to throw 5 or 6 touchdowns a game, that they were going to have 470 yards, a game. I mean, it's just not the way it works, and it's not the way this team is built, but they found a way to win against the biggest and baddest team that's out there, and so it doesn't matter what it looks like. They don't give you points. It's not the dunk contest, Juice. They don't give you points for being pretty.
And this is not college football either.
At all.
Get a win.
We're not talking about college football after what happened yesterday, guys. We're going to stick with the
NFL.
We got the coach. Is that the coach?
22 alpha males on the field. It gets competitive, gets chippy. It's a division opponent.
That's one of our guys.
They've been beating our butts the last – you know,
that's Christian Wilkins. So to finish the day, Tua does go 13 for 18 for 186, a touchdown. And the passer rating, it's
completed 72% of his passes.
123.8. That's right where his season rating was going into this game. And I'm sure his QBR is going to go up because he's hitting the big plays at the big moments. What was the team on third down today as I scroll through here? Dolphins were just 3 for 8 on third down, but it seemed like some of those were so crucial, Big Seth.
Josh Allen's as good as it gets, right? Juice just said that. He just called him a generational player or alluded to it. He threw for 400 yards, but you know what? He one-hopped the ball at the opportunity to win
mattered,
the game.
Right?
And it does, right? So like, you think he would give all those yards back? You think he'd rather have a stat line like Tua's and be 3-0?
Dude, we were – absolutely would. He would give all the stats. The dubs, all that matter. This sport right here that we all love, that we love so much, is all about the dubs, you know? And quarterbacks are judged by their win-loss record, where everybody else is judged by their stats. Yes, bottom line. So, Josh Allen is a guy right now that would rather have a dub leaving out of here with half the yards. Look, they had the ball for 40 minutes. Their game plan was unbelievable. And I'm going to give Ken Dorsey a lot of props.
Yeah, he was great.
They weren't trying to go deep. They weren't checking big shots. They were check down, run the clock, a 9-plus minute drive, almost a 10. They doubled us up in time of possession, 40 to 20. So that was their game plan. In order to protect that defense, their game plan was to make sure the offense stayed on the field as long as possible. It might have hurt them at the end because I think they were a little banged up at the end.
I texted you that.
Yeah.
Do you see those big boys? What does Channing call them? The fat boys? Did you see those offensive linemen when they had to do a 20-play drive, 9 minutes, and they came away with 3 points?
3 points.
That was huge. They were devastated only come away with 3 points.
Devastated.
Like, can't you find Diggs for 80 or something?
They were looking for a field goal earlier, I think. They wanted to get off the field as soon as they could at that point, man.
I hate to be the I told you so guy. Typically, but I was, ask Travis. I was sitting in there.
He was.
I told you that Tua was coming back out in the second half. I was the only guy.
I wasn't as confident.
I was the only guy in the press box that had no doubt that he was coming back in the second half, and I told you that 20-play drive they were going to feel it. Although it was a little scary at the end.
Yeah.
It was a little scary.
And that's why
that heat and this humidity makes cowards out of a lot of folks, Juice.
Yeah.
You've seen it happen. We saw it out there today.
It really does. It really does. Especially on the other side of the ball, man. It should never make a coward out of us. That's what we do. You know, look, I've worked out and practiced every single day in long sleeves and long everything so that I was hoping to be dehydrated at the end of the day. So I knew when I came out here on game day, I was going to have no sleeves on, as light as possible, hardly any pads on, you know, and that was the way of me getting in shape. Our guys must feel the same way. What I love, too, is remember, Tyreek cramped up in Baltimore. Today's hotter down here, and he was out there running. And I guarantee, of course, they played a lot more attention to Waddle and Tyreek than they did last week or the last 2 weeks. And that was a great game plan because their front four or front seven is usually pretty good. And I'm going to tell you what, it was a hot day, but our guys handled it well, man. They handled it really well.
Look, here's the way I look at it. Can you win when you're down by 20-something points in the fourth quarter?
Yep.
Yes. Can you win when Tyreek Hill, the highest-paid receiver in the league, the guy, the cheetah, only has 33 yards?
Yes.
Can you win when the team that was one of the best in football doubles you up on time of possession? It's good. Mm-hmm. And they're still finding ways to win, and I think they learn a lot about themselves in that process, Juice, because they're going to face all of these different situations as the year goes on. I'm not sitting here predicting, 50th anniversary of the undefeated team. Nobody's out here doing that. But it's like, what are they learning about themselves as a team? And how many times have we seen teams with the here we go again mentality? I like what here we go again looks like for this team right now. Like, okay, we can handle this.
It's becoming a theme for the football team to overcome that adversity. They got more of it today. Your quarterback goes down for a little bit there before the halftime break and comes back out, and you wind up getting the victory, like you mentioned, against a very, very tough football team. And you guys mentioned if Josh Allen would trade the W for the stats that he had today, Tua's record now as the quarterback of the Miami Dolphins is 16-8 as the starter. Dolphins postgame is driven by Gunther Motors. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Kia. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium. Let me check the scoreboard. Where is it? 21-19, the Dolphins win. You're listening to the fifth quarter postgame show brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
Take me out to the ball game. What are you doing? Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Dolphins leave the game with a 21-19 victory by large because of this Dolphins defense that held the Buffalo Bills to just 19 points. And so we're going to go ahead and get to our player of the game. But first, check out South Florida's ultimate entertainment destination with world-class shows at Hard Rock Live, award-winning dining at Suppresso and Council Oak, and much, much more only at the Seminole Hard Rock. Our key player of the game was tough to choose today. We wanted to go a defensive player because of the defensive effort. And with that, let's go ahead and get to our key player of the game, sponsored by Ed Morse. When you buy from Morse, you're backed by Morse with the price protection promise from Ed Morse Sawgrass Auto Mall, and it goes to none other than safety, Javon Holland.
Third down and 8, so no gain on that last play. Knox in the slot to the left side. Singletary replaces Moss in the backfield.
They got him.
Coming up, but they got him. The ball comes out. The Dolphins got it. Ingram has it at the 8-yard line from Miami.
What a play. They brought the heat, Jimmy.
Holland knocked it. Joe Holland knocked it out. Ingram, his second time that he has picked up a fumble inside the 10-yard line this season.
I'm all about some symmetry, and so the Dolphins' first touchdowns of the first two games this year at home here came off of a strip sack from a safety recovered by Melvin Ingram. This one, he doesn't get into the end zone, but the Dolphins do wind up punching it in a few plays later. Juice, Javon Holland in this game, 10 tackles, 9 solo, a sack and a half, and a forced fumble that led to a touchdown. Nearly got a pick there late, too, man. He played out of his mind today.
He's that dude.
He is that dude, man.
You know what I mean? And we love Javon, man. What a pick we got, and we got Javon Holland. And also, I mean, just for those that, you know, just looking at the stat line, watching him on the field. That's why I love being here in person. Watching him on the field, see him controlling everything. Traffic, the signs, the signals, the calls. You see Javon putting us in the right coverage. You see us going. I saw Javon line up and look like zero on the left side of the line of scrimmage on our side, and then get back to his middle third on the snap of the ball. You know what I mean? That's how nice that dude is at that position, and how smart he is to be able to have that type of control and that type of trust from Josh Boyer. He's really good, man. And you know, you talk about the opportunity missed. He won't miss that opportunity again, man. He's a guy that, you know, he's thinking about that right now. You talk about his stat line, he's like me when I played. I got the best stat line, but all I think about is the missed opportunities. And that missed opportunity is the one that he's going to think about a lot, and he won't do that again. He's that type of ball hawk. He's that type of player, and he had a hell of a game, man. Could have solidified it. Like, X had an opportunity last week. These DBs are just waiting. They're there, and I'm excited to see what Javon is doing, man. Great job by him once again, man. And
seesaw.
That's the same thing.
Tater tots?
Teeter totter sounds. That's not
teeter totter.
Right.
You know what the hell it is. Seesaw is a teeter totter. It's old school. Old school.
Bring them in. They got the hot empanadas sauce? And the croquetas.
Defense. What I'm talking about is defense, offense, defense again. That's what I'm talking about. You know what the hell I'm talking about, Big Seth.
We do know what you're talking about. The thing that I wanted to ask you on the
football.
Follow-up
complimentary
there.
Complimentary football.
Yeah, situational, complimentary, whatever, buzzwords. Was you kind of mentioned something there that they talked about this offseason in training camp, and I think it was Durham Smythe who said it, saying that, you know, Javon, you know he's a great player because he's not just doing what his job is within the specific defense. He can kind of go outside of that scope and make plays a little bit there. I think that might have been the case on the near pick that he had where he kind of rolled over to the receiver that got that free release off the edge. They sent the cornerback on a blitz. So he just covers up so much that you do. And Seth kind of corrected me on my own breakdown of the strip sack, and I want to hear your perspective, Seth, to kind of help me out on this, was that on the play where he did get that free run off the edge to strip Josh Allen, they motioned the tight end away from him over to Brandon Jones' side because they had both those safeties up on the edge, and you know what Brandon Jones can do. 2 weeks ago, he got the Dolphins on the board with a strip sack, scooped up for a touchdown. But, Seth, you were saying that Brandon still came on that blitz, right, to the strong side?
That's what I thought I saw. I haven't seen the real – I have to watch the film.
You know, get all 22. Get all 22 on, yeah.
Yeah, but, look, pick your poison with those two guys. I've said it. Those are two of the best pass-rushing safeties. I said Brandon Jones is the best pass-rushing safety in the league. And so when you have both of those guys coming downhill, I mean, you know, how many can you block at one time? Now, we did see a lot of blitzes, and as good as Josh Allen is, on two touchdowns he took advantage of it. He was definitely filling that empty spot quickly. But they couldn't get to everybody on that play,
right.
And Holland made the big play. I think, you know, look – that kid is I hate to even say
he's
star
him.
In the making. And, look, he's a star down here. We know that for sure.
Right.
I think the whole league is going to start to realize that really quickly. But he's making play after play.
All right. I'm like, what you guys got for me?
Let's go ahead and throw it now to Mike McDaniel live at the podium.
Before you came to Miami, how does it feel knowing that you're the only standing undefeated team in the AFC East and just transitioning to a short week getting ready for Cincinnati?
People take me way too literal. I don't like these shock endings, but, I'm just really, really happy for the team because this much I do know. Teams win football games, and if you're going to have success over the long haul, you have to have confidence that you know, whatever phase can win a football game for you can go ahead and do that. And it takes the collection. Every play is almost equally as important as the next. So to see guys persevere in a tough situation in a game that they took very serious, I knew that we were going to get our best effort from everybody. And then to be able to finish the game with two unbelievable efforts by the defense, I think I couldn't have written a better script for what we're trying to do. It's a exciting day for the team, and we've had three opportunities, and we've won those three. So that's also strong in perspective for us because. Three wins doesn't do anything at the end of the season. You need a couple more than that. So, but right now, very proud of the guys. We got a short week, so we can enjoy it for maybe a half hour, and then it's on to the next.
Mike, it's time of possession, yards, first downs. You guys were underdogs and all that today. Can you talk about what you learned about the team, especially at the end of the game when they had the punt situation? What'd you learn about the way they held their heads high and were able to overcome that?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have a lot of team. I learned a lot about the resolve. You don't know until you have it happen. And, the team got a lot of confidence in the offense last week. So when, you worry that when push comes to shove and you're trying to finish the game, you know that you can, if you get a first down, the game's over and you can't get a yard, you worry about the team's resolve. But I see much better than I hear. I was hoping, but to see the way they came back with confidence and played attacking football, I learned what I would hope to learn. You never know until you're in those situations, but it was I was very happy with the entire team and how they pressed forward. Because even special teams, we have an unfortunate situation. We were trying to get some yards at the end of the game to at least worst case scenario punt the ball from our own back end line, and we have something that doesn't totally go our way, but we don't win that game. If we don't completely flip the field on a punt previous in that half, so it's a great experience for guys. I'm happy that they were able to come out with the win because they definitely did everything in their power to get that done.
What was the process with Tua?
How did you adjust to that?
No, it was, that was live speed action. Now, Tua, he went out with a lower back, and that was, you know, I hadn't had that rep with him yet, and, you know, he kind of got bent back pretty significantly on a quarterback sneak earlier, and so, you know, I was kind of with everyone else when he hit his head on the ground. I assumed it was a head injury. But his legs got wobbly because his lower back was completely and loose. And as he described it, it was like he said his lower back it was like Gumby or something. So that is a challenge that happens all the time in NFL games. It was kind of fast and furious. We had some skill position players get dinged. We had some linemen fight through it, but. Those are things that you just have to be able to adjust on the fly. You better, your whole staff better be in concert. You better have contingencies, and you better have, know some plays you want to go to if things happen. So, we were able to do the best we could, but it was a lot better when we had everyone back. That's for sure.
Mike, you weren't here for seven straight losses to Buffalo, like a lot of these guys were. What was your impression?
You're listening to the Mike McDaniel press conference.
I think it meant
right
something to everybody. I talked to the guys about it, and you're not there, but you've been in the league long enough, and I've been on both sides of the coin where you've had a streak against a team, and then you've been on the poor side of the streak as well. So I told the team that it doesn't matter that we weren't here. That at some point, or just because, now moving forward, we're a part of that streak. So at some point in time, we're going to have to handle that. Otherwise, we're going to keep hearing about it. But I think it's important for them to it was special for everyone involved in that regard. As special as a week three regular season game can be. I will say that much, but we know that we're going to see them again. If they at all took us lightly at all, I promise you they won't again. So we're going to get their best shot, and that is a really, really, really good football team. That's what I'm happy about most, is that our team battled against what's as good of a team that exists in the National Football League.
Mike, a minute ago, Christian said when we brought up the 3-0 part and the first place in the AFC, he said 3-0 is not our goal. So I guess what I'd like to ask you is, are the goals being raised as you go along? Is that the impact of the start that you've had? Or are the goals of this team the same as they were back in?
No, I think you just you make it a little more abstract, because to me, I think everyone can identify what you don't want to do in this situation, in any year of your career, but particularly one where we have an opportunity to play some games with a team that we feel pretty confident in. You don't want to do yourself a disservice and fall short of your potential. So you just want to be as good as you can get and continue to grow. I think you bring up things as they're pertinent. And to me, if you're talking about goals that happen 15 weeks from now, you're just going to get hit in the mouth, because every single week in the National Football League, everyone's giving you their best shot. So I think, now we can talk about, not sneaking up on people. But realistically, whether we're 0-3 or 3-0, we're playing the Cincinnati Bengals on Thursday night, and somebody's going to come out with a win, somebody's going to come out with a loss. So you got to do everything you can in your power to make sure that you continue to progress in your game and give it your best shot. So I think they will change when it's a, when whatever when our circumstances change. Right now, there's no difference really between game four and game one. We have to do our best to win football games, and if you win football games, you can kind of control whether or not you get to play playoff football or not. And that's kind of our objective.
Can I ask you a question? Can you take us through what's going through your head through all the final sequences, whether it was Josh Allen and then close to the goal line, punt that goes for a safety, and also time running out?
Yeah, no, it's what you call a roller coaster. Oh, that's for sure. You know, when you're the head coach, it's a lot easier to stay balanced, ironically, because you're taking in the entire portion of the game. And what I did know is I was watching the defense and hearing the calls and seeing how they're communicating is they were not giving up. I knew they were going to have to earn the touchdown. So once they got to 2 minute and we knew we were going to rip off the timeout, and going to try to keep them from scoring a touchdown. So then a couple of those things happened. You're very excited. Me as the offensive play caller, I immediately knew that we were on our minus two. So we, you know, felt pretty good about a run play the first down and got minus yardage. So you're trying to make sure that you don't get a safety, and when you quarterback sneak it. I think we might have lost a quarter of a yard, too. So at that point, you know, I didn't want to have to pass the ball, but I thought that was the only way that we could protect the team with the way the line of scrimmage was playing out right then. And you get an incomplete. It's not a safety, but it's almost the worst-case scenario. You'd rather just take a zero-yardage kneel. And run time off. So that was not an exciting moment, definitely. And then, you know, we get a redirect off of a punt when we're backed up, something that was kind of caused on our own end. And, yeah, it's not exciting. But I was very encouraged. I knew they had to go to the length of the field, and I knew our defense was ready. That they've been working for this for a long time, and they enjoy those opportunities. So I thought they were going to bail us out, and they sure did. So that was pretty exciting.
Final question. 30-22
One more question here from Mike.
Possessions haven't been, you haven't been involved. That 45-yard pass on 30-20, what did that say to you about two? Obviously, it was a huge play. You got to get down out of it. And then, did he, you know, was he playing with any pain at that point? Just what did that happen?
No, I think it. That's one. That's a big play that I think Tua will always remember. That a lot of his teammates will, because he was battling through, and that's really hard, especially with how he throws. He uses such great base and balance that he uses his whole core to throw, and he had to be on time and on rhythm. He saw the coverage the right way. He attempted to move the field safety as best he could, but I think it goes to show how important it is to him, how gutsy he is, how tough he is, and when he can sense when big moments are on the line, and you know, just very happy that him and Waddle came up with the play to get us into scoring position that Chase ultimately ended up getting the score on. So that was a big one that I think we'll all remember for sure.
We'll take a break and come back and react to undefeated Mike McDaniel's postgame presser. We also didn't close out the previous segment. Javon Holland was your key player of the game, sponsored by Ed Morse. All the latest GM models are right here at the Ed Morse Sawgrass Auto Mall, and they're all backed by Morse. McDaniel reaction next. Dolphins postgame is driven by Gunther Motors. You've got to get to Gunther Kia in Fort Lauderdale on 441 just north of I-595, or visit GuntherKia.com for car buying done your way. You've got to get to Gunther Kia. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 21, Bills 19. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
This is the official Miami Dolphins Radio Network, where Dolphins fans live.
The Porpoise Pod, the newest Miami Dolphins podcast, hosted by Tobin and Solana. Listen for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Make more good in the all-new Sportage X Pro with multi-terrain all-wheel drive and available 360-degree surround view monitor. No mission is too small to take on, just like no game has been too small or big for this Dolphins club to get a victory. 3-0, you just heard from the undefeated Mike McDaniel, who moves to 3-0 against three dang good football teams season. Dang good. I would use another word there, but we're on the radio here, Seth. I can't
what?
Do that.
Damn it.
There you go. I guess it is allowed. But now you guys know what time it is. We're going to go to our press conference consigliere, Big Seth. He was jotting down notes furiously here during Coach McDaniel's press conference. What you got for us there, sir?
Well, first and foremost, maybe like the rest of us, he does not like these shock endings. So he doesn't like that the team's taking him that literally. Doesn't like the shock endings. But, you know, he talks about the fact they played three games and they won three games. He's not getting ahead of themselves, and all they can do is play those three games. But as he made sure that all of us understand, in case you thought, if you're out there and you're listening and you're already saying, well, if the season were to end today, coach is saying don't do that.
Stop doing that.
You need a few more than three games to make it into the playoffs. I thought he gave the most interesting, we're going to take it one game at a time answer that you've ever heard of. Because he did. It was the Mike McDaniel version of one game at a time. But he said that he's going to bring goals up and set goals as they're pertinent, and that goals need to be more abstract. When's the last time you heard an NFL head coach?
A big, that's a mayonnaise word right there,
yeah,
for sure.
Well, just the concept. I'm like, where's he going with this, that goals need to be more abstract? Because he says if you start talking about things that are going to happen 15 weeks down the road, you're going to get punched in the mouth.
I feel like you're talking to me right now.
A little bit. It's a little bit. I think it's not me. I think it was Coach talking to you. I think it was Coach McDaniel talking to you. It's saying, hey, hold on there, Wingfield.
He's going to bring it back on Monday, too, when Travis in that presser with him, right?
So Coach is like a great play caller. He's setting goals. He's not scripting this whole thing. Right. He's setting goals as things become pertinent. I thought that was fascinating. He also said, and I think for whatever reason, well, you know what? I get it. In that room, guys are fighting to get that last question. Ann says, hey, couple more questions. So now everybody's under the gun. They want to be the one to get those two questions in there. And they really kind of just breezed over the fact that Coach McDaniel said the objective here is to be playing playoff football.
Right.
So that just was almost a throwaway quote. But he's not getting ahead of himself, but the objective is to be playing playoff football. And then I thought this was also really important when he talked about his quarterback and he talked about how gutsy he was. And he talked about, you know, don't lose sight of the fact that he got bent over backwards there and that his back was hurt. And now, look, you can someone else's job to debate whether or not he was woozy or whether or not his legs went numb because of his back there. But what he did say was, look, Tua throws with great base and great balance. He uses his entire core when he throws the ball. So to have that kind of I don't want to call it an injury, but to have that happen during the game, to be feeling that during the game, and to still go out there on 3rd and 22 and drop that one in there and throw, you know, back-to-back just dimes deep to Waddle, he said that said a lot about Tua, and I think so as well.
I'm going to tell you what it says a lot about us as a team. You know, we've seen guys – we saw Tyreek come back last week with major cramps.
That's right.
Still come out there. We see Tua, you know, could have stayed in the locker room, because everybody thought he was out. You know, everybody looked like it was Uzi, but still makes the comeback out here. You know, we've seen guys shut it down.
Yep.
These guys are not shutting it down, bro. They want to be a part of this whole thing. They want to be out there on the field, you know what I mean, and be a part of what's going on. And that's building the right culture, the right team out there on the football field. I've seen too many guys, not when I played, but in the last 20 years I've been a fan since I retired, that they'll take the day off.
Right.
They get the opportunity. They'll be in the shower.
Business decision.
They will make a business decision. This team is out there fighting for the man next to them. Football's not about for yourself. If anybody thinks that, football's not about the individual situation. We do this for the guy next to us because we're the ones that have been out there since February grinding.
Right.
And we know that if I'm out, then the next man's got to do double duty or somebody else got to step up. You step up and you play. You got 1 week, 4 days, considering we're playing on Thursday, to get right. Get your butt out there, man. That's what Tua did. That's what Tyreek did. That's even what X did today. X wasn't X still. You could tell that.
He went into the locker room, right? He
correct.
Was having cramps as well. And
correct.
What's the commonality here that we're talking about? Who's got the C on their chest, right? So it's not just guys playing through stuff, but it's guys who are in leadership positions who everybody else on the team is looking at to see what they're doing. Greg Little played through some stuff. His hands, and we'll find out what that was about. And we respect that.
He was fighting like
but when it's your leaders, when it's your quarterback, when it's your leader on defense, when it's your leader, guys in leadership positions with that C on their chest, and they're doing that, I think that sets the tone for the entire team.
And this defense played that way today against that offense, 19 points, and like Juice mentioned, really 17 in actuality, without a guy that is really a huge, huge, integral, key part of this defense, and Byron Jones, he's eligible to come back after the game on Thursday, so getting him back could give this defense yet another boost. We know Austin Jackson's down, so some reinforcements could be on the way. What a start to this season for the Miami Dolphins. I was going to make a mention of Tua's 45-yard shot. I was literally writing it down, Seth, as you said it. So you sniped me there perfectly. I'm glad you did it because it was right in your wheelhouse, right in that segment. It was really, really good, man. Good stuff. Let's go ahead and pause 10 seconds so our stations can identify themselves. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
WQAM Miami, WPOW HD2 Miami, WKIS HD2 Boca Raton, home of the Miami Dolphins, powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys.
Call 1-800-747-3. That's 1-800-747-3733.
And that winning quarterback, who now has a 66% winning percentage in his career, Tua Tagovailoa, we'll hear from him next, I believe. Dolphins postgame is driven by Gunther Motors. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Kia. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium. Dolphins 21, Bills 19. Feels great to say that, guys. You're listening to the fifth quarter postgame show brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
Miami Dolphins football is on the air on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
Tomorrow afternoon, Hawk and Crowder are talking Dolphins. AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Unbeatable fans like you deserve unbeatable mileage, so next time you fill up, choose Chevron with Techron. Find a station near you on the Chevron app. And guys, I want to kind of go into more about the defense here because I think that was really the story of the day. We'll hear from Tua Tagovailoa as soon as we have the audio from the victorious quarterback of your Miami Dolphins. Seeing him walk off the field to the chants of the fans was pretty cool to see. But also, I guess before the defense I want to get to here, man, the energy in this building today, guys. I think, Seth, you were talking about it after the touchdown to take the lead. The fight song came on. And that press box glass is pretty not soundproof, but it does keep
like
a lot of
the
sound
bank.
Off. It really,
it's like going to the
great,
bank. You can't hear what the – what?
What a great
what?
Reference.
I want to deposit a check. What? It came right through there, didn't
but
it?
But you could hear it. You could hear the entire thing, Juice, from your vantage point when you were out in the open with the people. I mean, was it as good as it sounded to us out there?
What do you mean, man? I'm in a suite myself, right?
Yeah, he's chilling, living the good life.
Chilling with the big timers, man. I'm sitting next to, I'm sitting next to Johnny O, and, Duper's right next to me, and Dwight Stevens is behind me, you know what I mean? No, but no, man, it was so loud. Honestly, it was loud on both sides, but our fans brought it. They brought the answer to anything they were trying to do. Our fans were just as loud and just as brutal. Look, I get it. Buffalo fans are going to come down here. They live in Buffalo. You know what I mean? Some of them live here and they're Buffalo fans. I would come down to Miami, too, this time. They'd rather come down in November, December. I heard a couple of them say that. But at the same time, though, why not come enjoy what we have here? You know what I mean? The weather and the water. They didn't get the wind. The three W's, like I like to talk about.
Like some sunshine. You ever been in Buffalo, Juice?
Yeah.
A few
times? Yeah.
It's brutal.
I've been a couple times.
It's brutal. You ever been outside of the hotel, though? You ever, like, just drive around?
Yeah, I went out the door one time and came right back in.
Yeah.
Came right back in?
Then I came back to get on the bus.
Yeah. It's
to go to the stadium and get
America
back on the bus
the
to get back to the
population.
Plane. You're damn right. It's
he's
awful.
That Abe Simpson gif where he walks into the restaurant, puts the hat on the hanger, does a circle, walks back out.
I don't even visit my family when they come to Buffalo to watch me. They text me when they text messages.
Let me know how you enjoyed
the game. But, I'm going to tell you what, though. It was great. Our crowd was incredible. And, and there's a lot of people I saw this week on social media begging our fans to be in the stands before kickoff, begging our fans to be there because they knew it was going to be this type of deal, man. Look, Buffalo's done this little drive-by thing they've done on Fort Lauderdale Beach, where their fans try to do a little takeover. And then they end up, coming out here and they show well. They were loud. They were proud. But bottom line is they leave here unhappy like we hoped any opposing team does when it's a type of game like that. You know what I mean?
Matt's That's exactly right. Go ahead, Travis.
No, Matt Wilson just sent me, our producer just sent me a text saying he went to a burlesque show, Travis. It wasn't a restaurant, so get your facts straight. But yeah, I just know the gif, man. I don't know the episode. But Seth, go ahead, man. You had a point.
No, I was, you know, you go back to the fight song. They cut the music, and they just let the crowd go a cappella, right? And it was just, I don't know, it reminded me of being a kid going to Miami Dolphins games, and everybody just stood up there and sang at the top of their lungs. This crowd is feeling it. They're behind this team. They're excited about it. It was a beautiful thing.
And
they were awarded with a dub.
I think to that point, part of that is because of the effort the defense gave. And I just keep looking at these stats and thinking, like, it doesn't really match up with the way they played. And, you know, Josh Allen threw the ball 63 times to get to those 400 yards. What's the average? I mean, that's average probably is still pretty good.
Don't do the math.
No, don't carry the one.
We get the point.
Well, his rating was under 100 without any picks, so that means it must have been not super high. But the whole point I'm trying to make is this defense played so dang well in such key spots. And we were talking about it in the Javon Holland segment about the adjustments they made. Juice, I was curious to get your perspective here because they were doing that quick little slip screen game. And this damn quarterback, man, it doesn't matter if you have a guy in your face. He'll throw it over your head. He'll throw it around your hip on the side. He'll drop that arm angle down, whip it over there. They were doing that play also where they kept the Dolphins kept rushing, and they would send Singletary up into the A-gap as if he's going to go hit a little chip block on a linebacker rushing down the middle, and then he would just show his numbers to the quarterback and Allen would flip it to him, and it was like easy 10 yards. But they adjusted to that. You started seeing Jerome Baker close on that, Duke Riley close on that. This defense, you know, we talked about it last year, they got better. The previous year, they got better as the year went along. I think this defense only stands to improve as we go along here, and I think you saw some of that today.
Yeah, I think they had a zero blitz buster. You know, they had it built in. I think Baltimore did the same thing last week. You know, they had some certain things where they're going to go into this game and they're going to make sure that, you know, if they run this blitz, we got these guys that are out, you know, that are going to be outflanked or, you know, that's going to be wide open. Don't sit here and block. Just get a little dump ball pass and let these guys run. They were really, really effective with it. I was going to touch on how much Jerome Baker showed up in the second half in those situations because they were honestly taking advantage of him. You know, you go zero blitz, it's man-to-man. There's nobody should be coming wide open. So usually the guy that's been getting damage or doing damage on us was a running back. That's usually Jerome's responsibility. And so Jerome did a hell of a job of not letting these guys break out for big, big yards late in that game, making some big tackles. And I made note to the fact that Jerome was flying around like we expect Jerome to fly around. You go zero, it's a lot of responsibility. You got to get your man. And Jerome finally started getting his guy late in that game.
Well, and what I was going to say is, like, look, Josh Allen, again, phenomenal. It was unbelievable to watch the guy. You look at him, you say, what a talent. But he made two critical mistakes, the last play of the first half and the last play of the game.
That's a good point.
Okay, and, you know, you want to call them unforced errors or not, this defense was putting pressure on him all day. Yeah, he slipped out of the sack. Oh, he made all these incredible plays. But he knew the Dolphins defense was on him all day long, and he felt that pressure. And look, we talked about it. The last drive the Dolphins had of the first half, and they throw that little screen that goes incomplete. It stops the clock. We thought maybe a draw play or, you know, just some kind of a running play to run down another 30, 40 seconds. But they give the Bills a chance. They start moving the ball so quickly. I don't know what he was doing. Was it a fake clock attempt or did he bobble the ball?
Yeah, that's what they said. They said that he bobbled the football. And I guess the rule is if once you bobble it and you try to spike it, then it becomes a fumble. Is what I was told.
Whatever it is, that play cost them 3 points.
You telling me they weren't trying to do like a spike play on that?
That's what I was told.
Spike plays.
I gotta watch it back.
That was just a bad idea, in my opinion.
No, they were saying they were trying to. Oh, you mean like a fake spike?
Yeah, like we did. You know, to the Jets back in my day.
No, I don't know if that was intentional or the idea was to stop the clock and go for the field goal, and then because he mishandled the snap, that's what happened.
Right.
And then he misses the throw at the end. We saw how his offensive coordinator felt about it. But you can say whatever. Whatever you want. This Dolphins defense was stout when they needed to be, and that can't be lost.
Everybody's seen that, right?
Yeah, Ken Dorsey.
If not, get on Twitter.
Josh Houts has it. I know that. So I'm sure somebody else has it as well. But, you know, we talked about Tyreek getting held to 33 yards in the game. Like, Stephon Diggs was averaging just under 150 a game coming into this. He has 7 for 74. And the Buffalo Bills' longest play of the day was 28 yards, guys. Actually, they had a 40-yard run. The longest pass play was 28 yards. To me, that's a big part of this victory for the Dolphins as
well. You know what else is a big part of this victory?
Post-game game pizza.
I know you want to go to break. DJ Priest shows up with stats and pizza.
He's the man.
I don't think there's anything better than that.
He's 2 for 2 coming to games this year. I hope we can make it 8 for 8, Priest. I hope you hear every single game. We need you.
Like
we
this,
definitely need you. You're a clutch performer in the way that Dolphins defense was late. So we have plenty more to get to. We're going to hear from Tua. We're going to do drive of the game next. I don't know if you guys know that. That's an update for you guys as well. Dolphins post game is driven by Gunther Motors. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther Kia. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 21, Bills 19. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
You're listening to Dolphins Football on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
Dolphins recap tomorrow morning with Joe Rose and Zach Krantz, AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Our Miami Dolphins want to help you lock in a low mortgage rate. That's why AmeriSave is our official mortgage lender. Whether you want to refinance, get cash out, or purchase a new home, visit AmeriSave.com to lock in your low mortgage rate today. Let's go ahead and get to our Lexus drive of the game. Real life, real luxury. Explore the possibilities with Lexus at the Lexus Golden Opportunity Sales Event now through September 6th. Well, that's a long time away. Learn more at Lexus.com/offers. It's a 6-play, 77-yard drive, and it winds up in the end zone after a huge conversion on 3rd and 22.
Mostert, the running back, the Dolphin 48-yard line, back to throw to a three-man rush. Plenty of time deep down the field.
Oh, he's my gosh, Waddle, what a throw!
At the 5-yard line, what a throw!
I mean, Tua just put it right on the money on a deep post pattern, double move by Waddle. He puts it right on the money before the safety can come over. He was late on it. Wow, what a throw and catch.
I don't know. That might be the first time I ever heard the background noise of the crowd upstage the radio guys. That was such a cool moment to hear them explode that way. So they wind up punching in a couple plays later after a Mostert 2-yard run and then an unnecessary roughness on Buffalo, and then Chase Edmonds plunges in for his second rushing touchdown of the day. The Dolphins' 3rd touchdown was all they were going to need, guys. What were your thoughts in that moment after that drive, Juice? Were you thinking this is our game to win now?
You know what? The funny part is, you know, what people don't realize, and they'll look at it, and you'll see it on the All-22, was the way Tua manipulated Johnson on that throw down the middle. He held Jay Johnson. There's a couple Johnsons back there. He held Jay Johnson to his left while he hit Waddle down the middle of the field to his right. You're right down the middle, man. And that right there was an incredible. How many times have we ever seen us go for something like that, a situation like that? Take that shot. 3rd and 22, screen, draw, whatever you got to do.
He would have heard me complaining. Yeah, I was complaining about the second down call. I was mad they ran the ball on second down.
You know what I was complaining about? So, again, no. The rule is there's no cheering in the press box, right? So
that's why I don't mess with them.
He drops that dime in there, and all of a sudden, Travis, who's sitting next to me, I got my hands on the side here of the seat. He comes sliding over to me. Ooh, he's all excited, and he's trying to contain himself, and he jams my finger in between the two chairs,
terrible.
Juice.
I felt absolutely terrible.
But I played hurt.
Celebration
got
injuries.
Got it. You got to.
I Christian Wilkins'd him.
I'm like, come on, man.
Yo, bro,
yeah,
man.
You're right. You're right, except that I'm ready for this next game.
Humongous play, man.
Be a professional.
Man. You know what? The few big plays we had, you guys, that was humongous, obviously, man. And what a great throw, and what a great job with Tua with his eyes. And, you know, and honestly, we knew. I think we all had to know. I heard you on the radio today. I heard Seth, you know, on the radio. I heard doing our weekly stuff with some time. But we knew that they were going to take away our big guys.
Yep.
Our wide receivers, you know, and they're going to force us to do some things underneath. And I heard a few of us talking about that, you know, doing a couple of hits today, even with some of the networks. It's like the best way to beat us today was to play coverage, which they did, make us run the ball, which they did, control the clock, which they did, and we still got a dub, you know. But that throw right there on that drive was incredible.
Well, I don't know what that means, Travis. I'm sorry.
It
for those of you
listening. No,
he's pointing to me to say something and giving me the go-to-break signal.
Well, I thought you were going to jump in, but I'll go ahead and close it out with this.
I was. Then I got go-to-break.
That coach going that long kind of put us back up against it here, but we have another minute left. And, you know, Juice mentioned something about how he wanted to give the drive of the game to the defense. And, you know, I kind of agree with him because at that time, the Bills coming off of a – they had the lead in the game. I believe it was 17-14. They get a 43-yard run to start a drive. They call a timeout. They go 11 yards. They go 1 yard. And then at the end of that drive, they wind up incomplete, a 5-yard pass to Dawson Knox, and then a missed field goal. So it goes from being potentially 20-14 to the Dolphins going bang, bang, bang back on the other side. It winds up being our drive of the game, and the Dolphins would not relinquish that lead as they took it there with 10 minutes to play in the game. So that was your Lexus drive of the game. Real life, real luxury. The Lexus Golden Opportunity sales event now through, well, September 6th, I guess. That's in the copy. I'm going to read it. We're gonna come back and hear from Tua Tagovailoa on the other side. Let's go ahead and do that right now. Antenna's up. Game on. Score your favorite games and shows for free. Visit the freetvproject.org to learn about all the free programming waiting for you, including Dolphins games. That's freetvproject.org. Dolphins post game is also driven by Gunther Motors. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Kia. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 21, Bills 19. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
Miami Dolphins football is on the air on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
Tomorrow afternoon, Hawk and Crowder are talking Dolphins. AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Unbeatable fans like you deserve unbeatable mileage, so next time you fill up, choose Chevron with Techron. Find a station near you on the Chevron app. And guys, I want to kind of go into more about the defense here, because I think that was really the story of the day. We'll hear from Tua Tagovailoa as soon as we have the audio from the victorious quarterback of your Miami Dolphins. Seeing him walk off the field to the chants of the fans was pretty cool to see. But also, I guess before the defense, I want to get to here, man, the energy in this building today, guys. I think, Seth, you were talking about it after the touchdown to take the lead. The fight song came on. And that press box glass is pretty sound, not soundproof, but it does keep
like
a lot of
the
sound
bank.
Off.
It's like going to the bank and you can't hear what they say. What?
What a great
what?
Reference.
I want to deposit a check. What? It came right through there, didn't
but
it?
You could hear it. You could hear the entire thing, Juice, from your vantage point when you were out in the open with the people. I mean, was it as good as it sounded to us out there?
What do you mean, man? I'm in a suite myself, right?
Yeah, he's chilling, living the good life.
Chilling with the big timers, man. I'm sitting next to, you know what I mean? I'm sitting next to Johnny O, and, you know, Duper's right next to me, and Dwight Stevens is behind me, you know what I mean? No, but no, man, it was so loud. Honestly, it was loud on both sides, but our fans brought it. They brought the answer to anything they were trying to do. Our fans were just as loud and just as brutal. Look, I get it. Buffalo fans are going to come down here. They live in Buffalo. You know what I mean? Some of them live here and they're Buffalo fans. I would come down to Miami, too, this time. They'd rather come down in November, December. I heard a couple of them say that. But at the same time, though, why not come enjoy what we have here? You know what I mean? The weather and the water. They didn't get the wind. The three W's, like I like to talk about.
Like some sunshine. You ever been to Buffalo, Juice?
Yeah.
A few
yeah.
times?
Yeah.
It's brutal.
I've been a couple times.
It's brutal. You ever been
times.
Outside of the hotel, though? You ever, like, just drive around?
Yeah, I went out the door one time and came right back in.
Yeah.
came right back in?
Then I came back to get on the bus.
Yeah. It's
to go to the stadium and get back
America
on the bus to get back to the
population.
Plane. You're damn right. It's
he's
awful.
That Abe Simpson gif where he walks into the restaurant, puts the hat on the hanger, does a circle, walks
Dude,
back
I don't
out,
even visit my family when they come to Buffalo to watch me. They text me. Well, when they text messages. But, you know, I'm going to tell you what, though. It was great. Crowd was incredible, and you know, and there's a lot of people I saw this week on social media begging our fans to be in the stands before kickoff, begging our fans to be there because they knew it was going to be this type of deal, man. Look, Buffalo's done this little drive-by thing they've done on Fort Lauderdale Beach, you know, where their fans try to do a little takeover, and then they end up, you know, coming out here, and they show well. They were loud, they were proud, but bottom line is they leave here unhappy, like we hope any opposing team does when it's a type of game like that. You know what I mean?
That's exactly right. Go ahead, Travis.
No, Matt Wilson just sent me, our producer just sent me a text saying he went to a burlesque show, Travis. It wasn't a restaurant. So get your facts straight. But hey, I just know the gif, man. I don't know the episode. But Seth,
hilarious.
Go ahead, man. You had a
point. No, I was, you know, you go back to the fight song. They cut the music and they just let the crowd go a cappella, right? And it was just, I don't know. It reminded me of being a kid going to Miami Dolphins games, and everybody just stood up there and sang at the top of their lungs. This crowd is feeling it. They're behind this team. They're excited about it. It was a beautiful thing.
And
they were awarded with a dub.
I think to that point, part of that is because of the effort the defense gave. And I just keep looking at these stats and thinking, like, it doesn't really match up with the way they played. And, you know, Josh Allen threw the ball 63 times to get to those 400 yards. What's the average? I mean, that's average probably is still pretty good.
Do the math.
No, don't carry the one.
We get the point.
Well, his rating was under 100 without any picks, so that means it must have been not super high. But the whole point I'm trying to make is this defense played so dang well in such key spots. And we were talking about it in the Javon Holland segment about the adjustments they made. Juice, I was curious to get your perspective here because they were doing that quick little slip screen game. And this damn quarterback, man, it doesn't matter if you have a guy in your face. He'll throw it over your head. He'll throw it around your hip on the side. He'll drop that arm angle down, whip it over there. They were doing that play also where the Dolphins kept rushing and they would send Singletary up into the A game. Gap as if he's going to go hit a little chip block on a linebacker rushing right down the middle, and then he would just show his numbers with the quarterback and Allen would flip it to him and it was like easy 10 yards. But they adjusted to that. You started seeing Jerome Baker close on that, Duke Riley close on that. This defense, you know, we talked about it last year, they got better. The previous year they got better as the year went along. I think this defense only stands to improve as we go along here, and I think you saw some of that today.
Yeah, I think they had a zero blitz buster. You know, they had it built in. I think Baltimore did the same thing last week. You know, they had some certain things where they're going to go into this game and they're going to make sure that, you know, if they run this blitz, we got these guys that are out, you know, that are going to be outflanked or, you know, that's going to be wide open. Don't sit here and block. Just get a little dump ball pass and let these guys run. They were really, really effective with it. I was going to touch on how much Jerome Baker showed up in the second half in those situations because they're honestly taking advantage of him. You know, you go zero blitz, it's man-to-man. There's nobody should be coming wide open. So usually the guy that's been getting damage or doing damage on us was a running back. That's usually Jerome's responsibility. And so Jerome did a hell of a job of not letting these guys break out for big, big yards late in that game, making some big tackles. And I made note to the fact that Jerome was flying around like we expect Jerome to fly around. You go zero, it's a lot of responsibilities. You got to get your man. And Jerome finally started getting this guy late in that game.
Well, and what I was going to say is, like, look, Josh Allen, again, phenomenal. It was unbelievable to watch the guy. You look at him, you say, what a talent. But he made two critical mistakes, the last play of the first half and the last play of the game.
That's a good point.
Okay, and, you know, you want to call them unforced errors or not, this defense was putting pressure on him all day. Yeah, he slipped out of the sack. Oh, he made all these incredible plays. But he knew the Dolphins defense was on him all day long, and he felt that pressure. And look, we talked about it. The last drive the Dolphins had of the first half, and they throw that little screen that goes incomplete. It stops the clock. We thought maybe a draw play or, you know, just some kind of a running play to run down another 30, 40 seconds. But they give the Bills a chance. They start moving the ball so quickly. I don't know what he was doing. Was it a fake clock attempt or did he bobble the ball?
Yeah, that's what they said. They said that he bobbled the football. And I guess the rule is that if once you bobble it and you try to spike it, then it becomes a fumble. Is what I was told.
Whatever it is, that play cost them 3 points.
You're telling me they weren't trying to do like a spike play on that?
That's what I was told.
Spike plays.
I gotta watch it back.
That was just a bad idea, in my opinion.
No, they were saying they were trying to. Oh, you mean like a fake spike?
Yeah, like we did. You know, to the Jets back in my day.
No, I don't know if that was intentional or the idea was to stop the clock and go for the field goal, and then because he mishandled the snap, that's what happened.
All right.
And then he misses the throw at the end. We saw how his offensive coordinator felt about it. But you can say whatever. Whatever you want. This Dolphins defense was stout when they needed to be, and that can't be lost.
Everybody's seen that, right?
Yeah, Ken Dorsey.
If not, get on Twitter.
Josh Houts has it. I know that. So I'm sure somebody else has it as well. But, you know, we talked about Tyreek getting held to 33 yards in the game. Like, Stephon Diggs was averaging just under 150 a game coming into this. He has 7 for 74. And the Buffalo Bills' longest play of the day was 28 yards, guys. Actually, they had a 40-yard run. The longest pass play was 28 yards. To me, that's a big part of this victory for the Dolphins as well.
You know what else is a big part of this victory?
Post-game
I know you
pizza.
Want to go to break. DJ Priest shows up with stats and pizza.
He's the man.
I don't think there's anything better than that.
He's 2 for 2 coming to games this year. I hope we can make it 8 for 8, Priest. I hope you hear every single game.
With
we need you.
Like
we definitely
this,
need
we definitely
you. You're a clutch performer in the way that Dolphins defense was late. So we have plenty more to get to. We're going to hear from Tua. We're going to do drive of the game next. I don't know if you guys know that. That's an update for you guys as well. Dolphins post-game is driven by Gunther Motors. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther Kia. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 21, Bills 19. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
You're listening to Dolphins Football on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
Dolphins recap tomorrow morning with Joe Rosen, Zach Krantz, AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Our Miami Dolphins want to help you lock in a low mortgage rate. That's why AmeriSave is our official mortgage lender. Whether you want to refinance, get cash out, or purchase a new home, visit AmeriSave.com to lock in your low mortgage rate today. Let's go ahead and get to our Lexus drive of the game. Real life, real luxury. Explore the possibilities with Lexus at the Lexus Golden Opportunity Sales Event now through September 6th. Well, that's a long time away. Learn more at Lexus.com/offers. It's a six-play, 77-yard drive, and it winds up in the end zone after a huge conversion on 3rd and 22.
Mostert, the running back, the Dolphin 48-yard line, back to throw to a three-man rush. Plenty of time deep down the field.
Oh, he's my got gosh, what a throw!
At the 5-yard line. What a throw!
I mean, Tua just put it right on the money on a deep post pattern, double move by Waddle. He puts it right on the money before the safety can come over. He was late on it. Wow, what a throw and catch.
I don't know. That might be the first time I ever heard the background noise of the crowd upstage, the radio guys. That was such a cool moment to hear them explode that way. So they wind up punching in a couple plays later after a Mostert 2-yard run and then an unnecessary roughness on Buffalo, and then Chase Edmonds plunges in for his second rushing touchdown of the day. The Dolphins' third touchdown was all they were going to need, guys. What were your thoughts in that moment after that drive, Juice? Were you thinking this is our game to win now?
You know what? The funny part is, you know, what people don't realize, and they'll look at it, and you'll see it on the All-22, was the way Tua manipulated Johnson on that throw down the middle. He held Jay Johnson. There's a couple Johnsons back there. He held Jay Johnson to his left while he hit Waddle down the middle of the field to his right. You're right down the middle, man. And that right there was an incredible. How many times have we ever seen us go for something like that, a situation like that? Take that shot. 3rd and 22, screen, draw, whatever you got to do.
He would have heard me complaining. Yeah, I was complaining about the second down call. I was mad they ran the ball on second down.
You know what I was complaining about? So, again, no. The rule is there's no cheering in the press box, right? So
that's why I don't mess with them.
He drops that dime in there, and all of a sudden, Travis, who's sitting next to me, I got my hands on the side here of the seat.
Out.
He comes sliding over to me. Oh, he's all excited, and he's trying to contain himself, and he jams my finger in between the two chairs.
Felt terrible.
Juice.
I felt absolutely terrible.
But I played hurt.
Celebration injuries.
Yeah, you got to.
I Christian Wilkins'd him.
I'm like, yeah. Come on, man.
Yo, bro, yeah,
man. Yeah, you're right. You're right, except that I'm ready for this next game.
Humongous play, man.
Be a professional.
You know what? The few big plays we had, you guys, that was humongous, obviously, man. And what a great throw, and what a great job with Tua with his eyes. And, you know, and honestly, we knew. I think we all had to know. I heard you on the radio today. I heard Seth, you know, on the radio. I heard doing our weekly stuff. We knew that they were going to take away our big guys.
Yep.
Our wide receivers, you know, and they're going to force us to do some things underneath. And I heard a few of us talking about that, you know, doing a couple of hits today, even with some of the networks. It's like the best way to beat us today was to play coverage, which they did, make us run the ball, which they did, control the clock, which they did, and we still got a dub, you know. But that throw right there on that drive was incredible.
Well, I don't know what that means, Travis. I'm sorry.
It
for those of you listening.
Break. No, well,
he's pointing to me to say something and giving me the go-to-break signal.
Well, I thought you were going to jump in, but I'll go ahead and close it out with this.
I was. Then I got go-to-break.
That coach going that long kind of put us back up against it here, but we have another minute left. And, you know, Juice mentioned something about how he wanted to give the drive of the game to the defense. And, you know, I kind of agree with him because at that time, the Bills coming off of they had the lead in the game. I believe it was 17-14. They get a 43-yard run to start a drive. They call a timeout. They go 11 yards. They go 1 yard. And then at the end of that drive, they wind up incomplete, a 5-yard pass to Dawson Knox, and then a missed field goal. So it goes from being potentially 20-14 to the Dolphins going bang, bang, bang back on the other side. It winds up being our drive of the game, and the Dolphins would not relinquish that lead as they took it there with 10 minutes to play in the game. So that was your Lexus drive of the game. Real life, real luxury. The Lexus Golden Opportunity Sales Event now through, well, September 6th, I guess. That's in the copy. I'm going to read it. We're gonna come back and hear from Tua Tagovailoa on the other side. Let's go ahead and do that right now. Antennas up. Game on. Score your favorite games and shows for free. Visit thefreetvproject.org to learn about all the free programming waiting for you, including Dolphins games. That's freetvproject.org. Dolphins postgame is also driven by Gunther Motors. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Kia. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 21, Bills 19. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.